Hey, thank you to Helix for sponsoring this podcast. Adam has had his Helix mattress for almost a year now, and he's loving it. It's actually hard to get him up. In fact, he won't stop talking about it. You'll understand what we mean when he goes into detail. Thank you for the detail, Adam, later on the episode. But for now, we want to tell our listeners about a special deal going on. Our Sleepy Time Pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and, as if that's not enough, two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula. This is their best offer yet, and I'll bet it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Hey, it's Paula. You know what podcast I think you'll really like? Freakonomics Radio. Every week, host and best-selling author Stephen Dubner dives into the hidden side of, well, everything.
He interviews CEOs, historians, and Nobel laureates to explore business, culture, news, and more. Like whether AI has a sense of humor and why using swear words might be more important than we think.
It's very fucking important. If you like this show, and I think you do, then you're sure to love Freakonomics Radio. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming to you live from our houses in Los Angeles, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. Tonight, Feng Shui. It's the traditional Chinese art of placement, a practice which uses energy forces to harmonize people with their environment. Now, how does that really work? Architect and Feng Shui educator Angie Cho is here to help us construct a more auspicious physical living space. Can Feng Shui convince Captain Crinkle that potato chip bags are more auspiciously aligned with the kitchen rather than next to an open microphone? We'll find out. Plus, Shannon Polly won a Charity Buzz auction to support the ACLU of Southern California, and her prize is to be on tonight's show. We'll see if she still thinks it's a prize after she interviews to replace our late departed intern, Doug. I'm Adam Felber, the man who tries to orient this show's conversation in a harmonious and auspicious manner, like staying on topic. And now, please welcome the woman whose conversational feng shui compass spins in all eight directions at the same time. It's Paula Poundstone.
Yay!
Hey, you guys. Thank you very
welcome,
much.
Paula.
Thank you so much, and thanks to tonight's house band, Aidan McDonald on the harp. Aidan is part of Celtic Halloween, and this year they are taking their 10th anniversary show online at CelticRhythms.com. It's actually Celtic-Rhythms.com if you want to look it up. Celtic-Rhythms.com.
A hyphen, as it were.
Yeah. Yeah. They're,
all right.
They're actually doing their... They're doing their Celtic Halloween with the Celtics. So
the Boston
harp,
Celtics. Yeah.
Harp and basketball. You know, Adam, I've been watching a lot of MSNBC, but I don't get cable at home. And so I'm forced to, like, when I was in the hotel room, I would put on MSNBC the second I got into the hotel rooms. But because I'm not in hotel rooms anymore, instead, I'm forced to watch online. And the way they post the show online, you don't see the whole show. You see segments. And before every segment, there's a commercial. And usually the segments won't load. And so... Unfortunately, the commercial loads, but the segment doesn't. And so I'm forced to watch the same commercial over and over again, just trying to watch a few minutes of Rachel, for heaven's sakes. And the Bowl and Branch commercials. Oy, 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 with the Bowl and Branch commercials. It's a sheet company. They make sheets. And they
like
opine.
Bed sheets.
Yeah, bed sheets, exactly. They opine about what the sheets mean and how they say stuff like, you know, home is where the magic happens. Really? Not in my house. And then they say, in order to validate their sheets, in order to really pique your interest in their, they say that they've been, what is it? Their sheets have been used by three different presidents. It would be just my luck that the sheets I got had been slept on by Nixon, Harding, and Hoover.
Wow, that would be a weird sheet.
Yeah. I wonder if you get to choose which president slept on your sheets. Who would you choose,
which
Adam?
Which three presidents?
Three.
Which
three? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I would love, let's see. I always think of FDR as a little bit sloppy in his personal habits, so probably not him. I would go with the presidents who come across to me as the neatest. So I would go with Eisenhower and Obama and maybe, I don't know, Fillmore, because he wasn't there for very long.
Oh, I think, so you want to snuggle into a sheet that smells a little bit like Millard Fillmore?
Well, I would say if Fillmore slept on the sheet, then next would be Eisenhower, then would be Obama. So I'd imagine the Obama scent would be the freshest. So your three would be who?
I'll tell you who I don't want. I'll tell you who I don't want. If your Bowl and Branch sheets were slept on by Trump, burn them.
Now, should we go around the horn, Paula?
We should. You know, every time you say around the horn, I think of Anthony Hopkins in The Bounty,
because they go around the Cape Horn?
Yes. The crew wants to go a different way, and he insists on going around the horn. That was a great movie. That was Mel Gibson at his best. All right. Anyway, so let's go around the horn.
So Tony Anita Hall, tell us what's new in Studio City.
Me? Yeah. I went to a Zoom baby shower this weekend. That was fun.
You had a Zoom baby?
What kind of... that's great. It's going to be so much easier to care for, I think.
They smell great.
Yeah. When you have a Zoom baby, what happens is in the middle of the night, your phone rings. And you just... You just Zoom with a baby for a few minutes and then go back to sleep.
That sounds amazing.
Easier. Yeah, that would be great.
I would love that. Yeah. I don't even know if I'm ready for that level of responsibility.
So tell us about your Zoom baby shower.
What kind of things did they get?
So I got them a pack and play.
What the hell's a pack and play?
It's a, we used to call it something else when I was a kid. It's like a playpen is what
A pack and play.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's a portable playpen that can also function as a crib on the road.
Oh,
yes.
I see.
Great.
Yeah. So it's for evacuations. I thought maybe a pack and play that for when the Republicans come after us and we have to go up the hill like goddamn Sound of Music. A pack and play.
They, you know, they do live in Louisville, Kentucky, so it is possible that with Mitch, they'll have to
sleep. Mitch McConnell territory. Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I wish you could have gotten the Mamie McGrath.
I tried. I've been trying.
What else did they get at the Zoom baby shower?
I'm trying to think. I just kind of took note of what I mean, they got a nose Frida, which I love.
A nose Frida?
Do you guys know what a nose Frida is? So you put it up your baby's nose. Do you remember the old booger suckers that have like the squishy thing at the end?
Yeah.
So this is so nose Fridas, you put it in their nose and you suck the snot out. But there's a filter so you don't actually suck the snot into your mouth. Because that way it's just easier to get those little snotties out.
Wait, what? Why would you be sucking snot into your mouth? I don't even understand.
No, stop.
I think you were using that device incorrectly, I have to say.
Yeah, that's called a straw, and you should never put that in a baby's nose.
Everyone I know who has a baby uses them. They're called nose Fridas, and they have a filter. You don't get the boogers in your mouth, but it's just like
did with the other device.
What are you talking about?
It was a little squeeze ball. You never got it in your mouth, Tony. What? You were using it incorrectly.
It's not the nose Fridas that Paul and I are interested in, Tony.
The interesting thing is that you seem to believe that, the previous method involved sucking boogers into your mouth.
I know it didn't. I know. No, I know the previous method didn't involve, but this works, I believe, better and seems more efficient to me.
Oh, are you saying that this one is mouth-powered?
This one is mouth-powered. The nose free is mouth-powered.
Oh.
So it's a straw with a filter, so you can literally suck things out of your baby's nose.
You suck the snot out. But you don't suck it into your mouth because there's a filter that catches the snot. I don't know how else to explain it to you people.
You know what?
No, I get it now. I get it.
I try to swing vegan, but recently I've really been craving a milkshake until now.
You guys are very popular.
Well, that's just weird. All right, so and what a bizarre gift. I used to use for my kids the kind that was the squeeze ball. And one time on one of my babies, I turned his nose inside out. It was very powerful.
That's why you know. That's why you need a nose Frida, apparently, because you can control the pressure very easily with your mouth, and you won't accidentally suck out the baby's brains and whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Turned his nose totally inside out. I was like freaked out. Like, oh my god, this seems like a mistake.
And, I hear that. Yeah. That's why you needed a nose Frida.
You need a nose Frida. I've gotten many nose Fridas for friends.
That's ridiculous.
I didn't get this particular nose Frida.
You don't have kids. So what do you do? You just go up to other people's kids? That's weird.
No, I never used one on someone's baby, but like as a gift for the shower, I've given nose Fridas.
Oh, I thought maybe you had like a booth on the street there and the valley. Did you say, you know,
15, suck your 15 bucks a booger.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm very passionate about the nose Frida for some reason. I don't know why.
Clearly. Oh my gosh. I don't know why they're not advertising on our podcast, because this really seems to be an area. I've never heard you this passionate about anything other than cruising, you know?
Yeah. I got to say, those nose Fridas must be new, because my youngest kid is only 7 and I never heard of the things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how new they are, but my friend just started having babies in the last like 2 years. So.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. The nose Fridas. I never heard of the nose Frida ever.
Google it. You can see the wonder
We're recording a show right now, Tony.
I don't think it's appropriate to Google nose Fridas right now. It's what Bonnie's doing.
Speaking of Googling during the show, let's go to the See Me.
I knew it.
You did. I knew it.
I absolutely knew it.
No, it's going to become a new sex toy.
No, what?
What? It's so gross. I can't even believe it. I feel like throwing up. This is so disgusting.
You don't eat the boogers.
I'm not kidding. I have a headache. Paula, I never
well,
even...
This is a smooth segue. We're going up to the Simi Valley to say hello to producer Captain Crinkle,
okay,
Paula's manager, Bonnie Burns.
I never took snot out of my daughter's nose once. I think this is some weird way that, like, another generation came up with to get closer to their kids or something. If you saw this contraption, it's like they lean over and they suck the snot out of
That's
their
what
kids.
I said
no,
it did.
It's a totally unnecessary device. It's like those mini pot, whatever those things were that you cleaned out
I
your nose
I love neti
with.
Pots.
I
neti
pots. Don't even want to talk.
Why does Tony know so much about this? You know, you can also use it for... if you want to be bulimic with your child, you can also...
It's over-attentive.
And that creates a bond. You can suck the food out of them. Yes. That's something.
No, I never had to... Maybe because we were vegetarians. Paula, did your kids have, like... Did you take this...
What is happening?
Snot out of their nose?
Oh, my God. I never had to suck the snot out of my kid's nose because we were vegetarians. If that is not the name of a popular book.
Mucus.
Oh, my gosh.
I want that embroidered on a pillow.
Same. I want the pillow as well.
Yeah, I never had to suck the snot out of my daughter's nose, maybe because we were vegetarians. You know?
Now, nobody's out there. Please get to embroidering now.
No, Paula, did you have to take snot out of your kid's nose?
No, but I blew my son's brains out.
What?
Which I feel horrible about now, but I had this kind of straw device, and I put it in his ear and just, and brains, right? How was
ear?
I to know? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he still functioned, don't get me wrong, but it's
right.
Not that bright.
But that was the ill-fated product known as the Ear Frida.
Yeah, the Ear Frida. I never should have used the Ear Frida. Okay, I've been involved in some bizarre conversations before. You know, I used to drink. But this has to be...
This is a cake weirdest, taker.
This is the weirdest conversation I've ever had in my life. And
well, we're about
it,
to make
think,
it a little weirder.
I don't think it can get weirder.
Well, here, let's try this. Bonnie Burns, what's new?
No, I'm done.
Oh, my gosh.
I think, okay, here's part of what's weird. Okay, for me, like, I don't really refer to a lot of bodily fluids. And I don't know why. Just how I was raised, I guess. I just don't. But the freedom with which little Tony Anita Hall just speaks so freely about bodily fluids. I'm beside myself. I never heard such comfort with the word, like, snot and putting things up, sucking things, and I don't know what to say.
Oh, well, it is our now scandalized favorite hand puppet, Mrs. Culpepper, is here. Welcome, Mrs.
She
Culpepper.
Always seemed like such a genteel girl before, but now she's just talking about snot and semen and bile and vomit and.
I didn't hear a single reference to semen, bile, or vomit. Tony Anita
Hall. Just you wait. She's just getting started. Oh my God! The comfort with which there was nothing remotely squeamish about. Not only that, but somebody received it at a party and they were like, "Oh, thank you." That's weird.
Well, I don't think that's as weird as Bonnie Burns looking at a picture of that on the internet and thinking like, wow, that could be a sex toy.
Yeah, well, that was strange, too.
No, you have to look at it.
That was strange.
You have to look at it. No, it's the new intimacy. Let me suck the snot out of your nose.
Come on.
If you saw it, you guys.
I can't unhear that.
Can we pause this podcast so I can go take a shower, please?
Paula, do you have a vocabulary word this week?
Yeah, it turns out that Anthony Weiner was texting pictures of himself using the nose Frida to other women.
And then, of course, we all remember that classic movie about that vampire character that sucked snot out of people's noses. Nosferatu.
I thought you meant Snotula.
Snotula and Nosferatu. Those are two of the best.
Snotula.
I don't know why Tony Anita Hall would have taken us down such a path. It's a...
Captain Kringle brought up the sex toy thing. I didn't.
When you see it, you'll see what I mean.
I have seen them, and I've never thought sex toy.
You're naive.
What?
Yeah, you know, You know, maybe this is something that Roger Federer could carry in his store. They're very popular. Oh, you know, I do have a word. Adam,
okay,
you.
Well, as long as it doesn't involve bodily fluids, I can't wait to get to the word, Paula. What is it?
Nose Frida.
Jesus.
No, it's seminal. It's an adjective.
What?
It's seminal. It's an adjective.
Are you kidding
me? No, it's seminal. It's an adjective that means of a work or event or idea strongly influencing later developments.
Okay, but Paula, isn't that word derived from the word semen?
It is. I didn't use
no,
this. This is the first meaning. The second and third meanings do involve semen. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Tony and Neil Hall will probably bring it up in a minute now. But here, I'll use it in a sentence. My cat Luigi's seminal work, Peeing in the Corner of the Ballroom, has spawned any number of copycat crimes. Adam, did you see on Twitter where someone wrote that she found, I think she said two of our vocabulary words that she had heard in the vocabulary song in, was it her master's application? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, yes.
Where was it she saw them, Adam?
I can't remember where she saw them, but I think it was in her reading for her master's degree. And she remarked that... it's far from my previous statements that the vocabulary song wasn't useful. She knew those words because of your vocabulary song.
I was so proud when I saw that. So this is the sort of thing that inspires me to continue my vocabulary song. Here, let's see. I can't remember it anymore. Here we go. I can't remember it.
You've forgotten how to play the one song you know on the Glockenspiel.
I did.
This
All right, here we go.
Word.
This week's word is seminal. It's an adjective that means of a work or event or idea strongly influencing later developments. I had ducks as comedy celebrants. Last week's word was insouciant. It's an adjective that means carefree, unconcerned, free from care or worry. I'll eat it even if it's furry. The week before that, we had hyperbolic. It's an adjective that means deliberately exaggerated. This podcast is richly financially compensated. Going back before that, we had lugubrious. It's an adjective that means dismal and sad, like when ducks poop on everything you had. And not long ago, we had pernicious. It's an adjective that means having a harmful effect, especially in a gradual or subtle way. I'm spending more time on the computer every day. Let's never forget gallimaufry, which I pronounced wrong until nobody James Hyder corrected me. It's a noun that means confused jumbler medley of things. Hodgepodge. Who's podge? Hodgepodge. Adam doesn't think my song is replicable. 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 But I do. I do. I do.
All right.
Oh boy. Whoa.
Bravo.
Seminal.
Coming up, the writer Wendell Berry said, "Don't own so much clutter that you will be relieved to see your house catch fire." Architect and feng shui expert Angie Cho will tell us how to design our homes so that they harmonize with the world around us, much like a Chinese barbershop quartet. That's coming up when we return on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
Adam, you know I have a house full of cats and a couple of big dogs. So I have this one cat who every night likes to stand in the hallway and yowl. And he has kind of a little bit like me because of allergies. I don't know why he has it. But his name is Theo, and he has a really grovelly voice. So he'll... It's hard to describe it. I can't do a good impression. But it's a little dusty, gravelly voice. Okay, so earlier I was laying on the living room floor because I'm exhausted and I'm wearing a nylon fiberfill vest. As I'm laying on the floor, Theo shoves his head through one sleeve of the vest and crawls up and is now stuck inside in between my back and the vest and is yowling because he can't get out. And then finally his head comes out the other sleeve and he goes out. What's not to love? That's what I say. What is not to love?
Which brings me to this. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program.
Your pet is part of your family, you know that already, and you want the best for them no matter what. But vet bills can really add up. Go ahead, ask me. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most.
The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. That's a lot of pets.
True.
They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are.
Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account.
To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/Paula. That's ASPCA. We spell that ASPCA. Petinsurance.com/Paula. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code. On this day in unremarkable history, Orville Wright said, "You know what would be great is if we had like little snacks and drinks."
Thank you, house band Aidan McDonald. Paula, as long as we're back, we're living in challenging times, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yes. I am trying to take a proactive stance, and I was trying to figure out what I can do in my house to improve my odds. I heard about this feng shui thing, and I wanted to explore it.
Well, Paula Poundstone, fortunately, we have the perfect feng shui guide with us here on the phones. Angie Cho is an architect, feng shui educator, and author of Holistic Spaces, 108 Ways to Create a Mindful and Peaceful Home. She's the owner of Angie Cho Architect, co-founder of Mindful Design Feng Shui School, and founder of Holistic Spaces, which hosts a blog, podcast, and an online store. Please welcome the aforementioned Angie Cho.
Thanks so much for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for having me.
So you have an online store. So you, like me, are looking for places to stack all your cash. Angie, let's just begin with a basic question, which is, what is feng shui?
That's a great question. So what is feng shui? Feng shui, okay, I'm going to give you two definitions. One is kind of like the more dictionary definition, and then I'll give you my definition, which is more modern. So the dictionary definition is feng shui is an ancient art of placement that comes from China and Asia. It's based on Taoism, and it's about looking at your spaces and how you position your home or your environment, how you position yourself in relation to your environment to put yourself in the most advantageous position.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Nice. And what's your definition?
That's right. I forgot that part. Okay. So my part. So if my definition is it's mindfulness of spaces. It's about paying attention to all the details in your environment so that you start to see how you affect your environment, how your environment affects you. And then slowly you begin to really see that these things are not separate. And then that also leads to compassion, because then you could start to see that you are not separate from everything else in your life and how we're really interconnected and interdependent.
Huh. That's a nice definition, and it's making me look around and realize that I have to put my socks away.
Yes, you're connected to your socks.
Do you think, Angie, that I can achieve feng shui? Is that how you would say it? Achieve feng shui? How would you, what's the right verb there?
Maybe you could say, can I enhance my feng shui, or how can I work with my feng shui?
All right, can I work with my feng shui in a house with 9 cats, 2 big dogs, and very little furniture? Mostly just, I have 3 Adirondack chairs and a foosball table.
Do you have a bed?
No.
No bed? Okay, where do you sleep?
I sleep on the floor. I have blankets that I put down on the floor when I go to bed. I have a box that I put the blankets in during the day.
Oh.
All right. So is it possible? I mean, can you improve your feng shui in any home?
Yes. There's always a way to improve whatever you're doing. So, of course, you can definitely improve and use feng shui techniques on any homes, even with no furniture.
Interesting. All right, so
I love it that you wrote a book called 108 Ways to Create a Mindful and Peaceful Home. Could you give us some of those 108 ways?
Sure. Let me think. Which one would be good for you? I would say the first. Well, do you really not have a bed?
Yeah, I really don't.
Oh, really? Well, it's interesting, but is it like very Japanese where you put away your bed every night?
I don't think it's Japanesey.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind it being Japanesey, but I do put away my bed every morning because my bedroom is also my office.
Ah.
But I've always done that anyways. I just fold up my blankets and I put them in a box and then I sally forth.
So it's really good that you put away your bed when you're working because you're living and working in the same place. But it's hard to have that work-life balance, right? Because it's the same room. But that's very helpful that you put away your bed.
Yeah.
But
it is actually.
But your bed represents you. So it also, it means that there's a part of you that you're not giving attention to. So, you know, you're not making a little space for yourself. But I guess if you put away your bed in something nicer than a box, is it a cardboard box or is it like a nice box?
Oh, it's a cardboard box.
Oh, okay. So if you could get like a nice box, like to put.
What do you consider a nice box?
So I'm actually thinking for myself, I have in my living room a nice like mid-century modern chest that I got. And that's where we put our, when a guest comes over and sleeps on our sofa, because I live in New York City where you don't have a separate room for a guest,
right.
but I have like a duvet and pillows in there for guests in this chest. So something like that can also be like serve as something else in your room, and then you could put it in a place so you're giving some attention to your bed, because your bed actually represents you. Think about how many hours you sleep on your bed. And if you're just throwing your bed in a cardboard box every night, that reflects on how you value yourself.
Hmm. I have a mid-century modern chest, which is why I don't wear a bra.
There we go.
Because it's an antique. They're antiques.
I get it, Paula. Let me, how about if you give us just some of the basic principles of feng shui?
Sure. Okay. There's one really important principle when it, a feng shui that's really easy to explain. Well, easy to explain without visuals. It's called the commanding position. And this governs how you set up your bed, which represents you, your desk, which represents your career, and your stove, which represents your wealth and how you nourish yourself. And you want to basically be situated so when you're laying in bed, when you're sitting at your desk or you're cooking at your stove, that you can see the doorway to that room without being directly in line with it. So I like to call it, like, where would the mafia boss sit in a restaurant? You know, like, they would always sit in the very back, right, diagonal from the door, uh-huh, with the back protected. They don't want anyone creeping up on them. They don't want anyone shooting in through the door and running off. Like, they want to be protected and see everything that's happening.
So, wow. So wait, so you should be able to see from your bed, your stove?
No, that's actually not good feng shui. You want to see the door. You want to what it represents is you want to be able to see opportunities coming to you. You don't want to be surprised. You also want to be able to see the whole expanse of the room and have control of your space, which decreases your stress, but also on a physiological level, it reduces your stress because your mind knows that it can see the door and you're protected.
So who has a bedroom so large that you can't see the door?
No, sometimes people set up their beds. So like, for instance, a headboard, so the door is behind you. So like maybe the headboard is on the same wall as the door.
Oh, I see. Okay, got you. Because if it's blocking the door, that's a fire hazard. Now, I sleep on the floor right beside my treadmill that I never turn on.
Oh.
Is that... Can the energy go sideways?
Well, actually...
Paula, you are just shocking her.
Well, no, I have a question.
With your horrible feng shui.
How does that feel to see the treadmill that you never use every day? All the time.
Well, I use it. I just never turn it on. I have a treadmill desk. So I stand on the treadmill and I work on the desk that's on the treadmill. But the thing about a treadmill desk, it's
Andrew, are you crying?
No, my mouth is open. I'm like, oh.
No, I get great energy from this. The problem with using the treadmill desk is that it vibrates as you walk and everything on the desk falls off. So that's why I never turn it on.
Oh.
But I do put stuff on the treadmill beside me when I'm sleeping. Like, I watch Breaking Bad all night long every night.
It's also your side table.
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and I can feel the energy coming off that. I have to have it arranged in a particular way or it bothers me a lot.
Okay. I've heard that actually... I don't know, I guess like actors that they have like treadmills with like an image like of a Oscar in front of them and they run towards the Oscar and that sort of thing.
Oh my heavens. That never even occurred to me to do.
But that's something that you could definitely do if you can arrange it so your everything isn't vibrating while you're on the treadmill, unless you have it on a low speed. But I think that's actually a really nice metaphor. And a nice way to activate what you're working on, because if it's your desk, that means you want to keep your career or always in motion, and that's okay.
Oh, I like that idea.
I like that. Although it is a treadmill that never moves.
Well, mean that your career is a little stuck. But what will happen if you start it moving? It has the potential to move.
I think I'm gonna put like a cardboard cutout of Bryan Cranston in front of it, because I really want him to do our podcast. And so far, I've tried to engage him via Twitter, totally unsuccessfully. so far. But maybe if I have him, you know.
Yeah, I'd do it.
In front of my treadmill. That's a good idea. Okay. Let's see. So the other thing is, in my house, I can't keep up with all the dusting. Does dust get in the way of feng shui?
It can if you never dust. So you are dusting, though?
I do dust, but I used to have, I used to have a housekeeper who came in 3 days a week, but I can't do that anymore. And I have 9 cats and 2 big dogs, and I think my skin also flakes off from stress. And so the dust is, it's monumental. And I don't have time to get to all of it. So I do like a little bit at a time. So eventually everything gets dusted, but it's a little bit like painting the Golden Gate Bridge. It's always, you know, it's always happening. Does that interrupt some sort of energy?
No, I think actually you're doing something wonderful because that's life, right? We're always, life is about dusting everything all the time. Once you give up on the dust and you don't dust, that's when you're not living anymore.
Wow.
Wow.
I never realized how richly I was living while I was... had my feather duster out. Usually what I do is if I have to have a long phone conversation, I'm walking around the house with a feather duster while I'm having the conversation.
Oh.
And then, of course, you have to vacuum because you knock the dust off and then you have to vacuum.
Oh.
And I do that while I'm talking to someone that I don't want to hear.
You could also notice where maybe there are areas that get dusted more and areas that don't. That get more neglected. And areas that get more neglected, you know, say like you've noticed part of your desk isn't getting dusted. That can tell you like there's part of your career that needs more attention. Or, you know, like for instance, doors represent, oh, you'll like this actually. The doors represent the mouth of the inhabitants and the voice. It's your voice, it's your mouth, it's how you communicate with the world, especially your front door. So if your front door, there's lots of areas of the front door that actually get neglected a lot, like the top of the frame, the inside of the door frame, that, you know, maybe even the face of the door on the inside or the outside, your front door.
Mm-hmm.
And that represents how you communicate with the world. And if it's neglected, every now and then, if you dust or you clean something that is often ignored, you can open up new opportunities. You can open up a new way of looking at things. It's just like giving attention and giving energy to something that is neglected. So dust can be a good sign to show you, like, this is some area in life you should pay attention to.
Oh, okay.
Like a lot of people have like a garage door or a back door. They never use the front door. That means that they're not opening themselves to opportunities with the world so they could start using the front door more to invite in more energy.
Oh, I do usually. Well, we use the back door a lot.
That's okay.
But
just
also
use the front door too.
My dogs put their snouts on the window of the back door. Does that interrupt the energy in any way?
No,
there's all sorts of dog snout marks.
They always give good energy.
Oh, do they?
I think so. Don't you think so?
Well, yeah.
Well, you haven't met her dogs.
I have 2 dogs as well. I love them. But right, mine are but very small.
I have a golden retriever that's not very friendly, which is very unusual. It might be because she goes in and out the back door. I'm going to start bringing her through the front door more.
All right. You know, Winston Churchill said, "We shape our homes and then our homes shape us." Stay tuned to find out more about shaping our homes in ways that can make us better when we return. The Cat of the Week is Emmett from East Peoria, Illinois.
Hey, Paula, it's been almost a year now since I got my Helix mattress. And as you remember, there were some drama surrounding Helix mattresses.
Because
First sponsored us, Bonnie took the mattress and she's been loving it. But finally, I got my chance to get a Helix mattress and I sleep so well. I mean, the family bed is where we all gather. We watch movies in our room occasionally and everybody just piles on it and it's comfy. And yet when one person hops on, the other half of the mattress doesn't fly up. I'm a fan.
Well, you know, Adam, everybody is unique and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support.
I agree with that last bit. I don't get all the technical stuff about the mattress, but it is soft and supportive. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, the award-winning Lux, which I got, and ultra-premium Elite Collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts, and my daughter now wants one. So, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? You go to their website, take the Helix Sleep Quiz, and you find your perfect mattress match in under 2 minutes.
You know, when you said you can't follow all the technical stuff, it's really not that technical. You know, no matter what way you sleep, they have a mattress that will support and comfort you. How hard is that?
You know, when you say it that way, it seems a lot simpler. I take it back. That's my boner.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Well, I like that there's a warranty, but they can pry that mattress from my cold, dead hands. I took the sleep quiz. I was matched with the Helix Midnight Lux. I got the Lux, and I love it. It is such an upgrade from my old mattress.
You know, I think Bonnie got the Midnight Lux.
She did.
Too.
Yeah.
You're not here. Don't want to take Adam's word for it? Well, you got Bonnie's word. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Your sleepy time pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners.
That's a lot, and it's already not that expensive a mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula.
That's helixsleep.com/Paula.
This is their best offer yet. It's fantastic. It won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now. Well, not right now.
And if you're going to get it anyway,
use our code.
And we're back with architect and feng shui educator Angie Cho. This is really interesting, Angie. Paula, I'll let you ask a question about the placement of your cat's litter, because I know Bonnie Burns was concerned about this.
Angie, as you come through my front door, my mouth, to the left as you come in, there's a bathroom that have six litter boxes in it, and we call it the cat bathroom.
Oh, boy.
Yes. Oh, jeez. I keep getting that tone in your voice. It's not so good feng shui?
Well, okay. You walk in the front door and it's to the left?
Yeah.
It's immediately to the left when you walk in the front door.
Yeah.
Oh, immediately.
Okay.
I didn't realize that you guys had focused on this to such a degree.
It's a beautiful door to walk through.
It's a beautiful door to walk through. Well, if you walk through at the wrong moment, it can be a pungent door to walk through.
Well, what I would say is it's a great position for a cat litter bathroom if you are retired. Or you are very introverted and you don't want to meet new people in your life.
Alternatively, though, let me ask you this. It's great feng shui-wise for the cats, right? Because they're in that power position where they can see the front door at an angle. But, you know, if anybody's trying to shoot them, they you know.
Yeah,
well,
while they're pooping.
Actually, no, the power position of the house would be the rooms that are furthest away from the front door.
Oh.
Yeah.
So well, you, cats are particularly vulnerable in those litter
boxes.
Yeah,
they're kind of like living in a guest room. Because you know how if you don't want to have a guest stay very long, you should mm-hmm. definitely put them like close to the front door as possible, even like any rooms that occur, you know, before the front door. And that's why, like, you always have a powder room and things like that. The closer you are to the front door, the closer you are on your way out.
So your mouth could open in the middle of the night and they'll just drool out. They'll just dribble out.
Yeah.
So do you feel then that by me having the cat litter box right there, and the only reason it's there is there's a bathroom there. Mm-hmm. There's no other room in the house where the cat litter boxes could have been. Without being even more unsanitary than it already is. And one of the things that happens is if people come over, I mean, it either has to be people that I am welcoming into my home, mm-hmm. in which case we hustle right past that section, or I don't let them in.
Right.
No, there's no halfway. You know what I mean? There's no people that, oh, well, just come in the entryway here and we'll chat. It's like, no. I step outside the house and shut the door behind me and talk to someone who I'm not welcoming into my home, or I welcome someone into my home. And we run towards the living room.
What you could also do is put a closer on the door so the door is always closed.
And yeah, we can't do that either.
Oh,
because because there's so many litter boxes that they sort of spill out into the, yeah. It's not, you know... Do you get a lot of like architecture magazines or, you know, go online and look at a lot of beautiful layouts? Because you're not going to find my house in there.
Okay.
So you said that the door represents your mouth. The front door represents your mouth. I hate to think what the back door represents. Are there other things in a house that are symbolic?
Well, just to clarify, doors in general represent the mouth. They also represent portals, places where energy can go through. That's why, like in many cultures, doors are really important. Like in Jewish culture, there's the mezuzah. Doors are very important because that's where energy comes through. And so your front door is the most important, and we call it the mouth of chi. Chi is energy, so it's where the most energy comes into your space. So it's kind of like the most important door. But yes, there's other things like I mentioned, like the bed, desk, and stove. But also, for instance, you were talking about your dogs mm-hmm. and the windows. The windows mm-hmm. represent your eyes.
Oh, my gosh. They've been getting dog schmutz all over my eyes.
Well, if you have, for instance...
I think that's pretty accurate.
It's really good to clean your windows because it helps you... to clarify your view and be able to see things clearly without your own perceptions. And also on a very mundane level, it brings in more light. It brings in more clarity.
I should do that.
That's good. Good to know.
Yeah. And people with, you know, some people who are like hoarders, they have like a lot of stuff blocking the windows that can lead to eye problems, or when the windows can't open well, that can mean maybe eye problems. The windows also represent the mouth of the children. So you also want to make sure that the children are able to speak freely too. So you want to make sure that the windows are in good repair, that they're easy to open, that they're very clean.
Huh. All right. I definitely got to clean my window. Is there anything about the tracks where the windows slide having dead flies in them? Is that bad?
That's kind of like the dusting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like thinking about, it's like, so what that can represent, it's maybe there's, so that's like the lower part of your eye. There's just some part of how you're seeing the world that you're not, that you can do better at like clarifying.
So, you know, I've lost vision in the lower part of my eyes. Do you think that's because, yeah.
Clean your windows, Paula.
No, for real? Are you just saying, you're pulling my leg?
No, for real, yeah.
Oh,
so do you think that, you know, here I am going to an eye doctor and, you know, managing that part of my health. Mm-hmm. Do you think the whole thing could have been solved by vacuuming out the tracks of the windows?
No, I don't think that it's a medical thing, but I think that they're connected.
Wow. Damn it. That's why I hate those logy flies.
That's what's doing it, Paula. Yeah, you'd see 20% better.
It's logy fly season. It's, yeah, yeah. And they're all over
between
my house.
The flies and the dog nose smudges, it's a wonder you can see at all.
If I were to feng shui my whole house, would that mean that I had to get rid of the wooden monkey hanging from the lamp cord in my kitchen?
Why do you have a wooden monkey hanging from the lamp cord in the kitchen?
So the cats can't break it?
Oh, no, you can do whatever you want.
There's so much to think about here.
There's so much to process.
I'm going to put my litter boxes in the front yard and just open my front door.
You might want to.
Yeah, that's one that's one approach.
In your front yard?
I'm kidding. Yeah, because I want to keep even more people away, if that's possible.
Oh.
All right. Well, thanks, Angie. And thanks to you, we have a better sense of how to design our homes to achieve a more harmonious life. And now we're going to take your good information and run it through the old Pounce-tinator. Paula?
Hey, Aiden, thanks so much for your music tonight. If I can get a little background music, I'll tell you what the Pounce-tinator spits out. Perfect. It hasn't been a time of luck or great energy, which may well be because I haven't been mindful enough of my spaces and how I'm connected to my environment. In fairness, I can't always see my space because I've lost vision from having dead big logy flies in my windowsills. I was gonna put a picture of Bryan Cranston in front of my treadmill so that if I did turn it on, I'd be walking, my energy would be moving towards Bryan Cranston, towards having Bryan Cranston on our podcast. But you know what? Fuck that. I think what I really need is to pay someone to sneak a Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone logo onto the front of Bryan Cranston's treadmill. If my stove really represented my wealth, I'd be cooking over a Sterno can right now. And I'm not sure there's a lot I can do feng shui-wise in this house. What I'd really like to do is to walk right out of my big mouth, aka my front door, and into a Winnebago. I'll park in a cul-de-sac, and the bad luck will go right past me.
All right, she is an architect, feng shui educator, and author of Holistic Spaces, 108 Ways to Create a Mindful and Peaceful Home, soon to have 109, thanks to Paula Poundstone. Thank you so much for being on our show, Angie Cho.
Thank you so much for having me. Thanks, Angie.
You're great.
Wonderful.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Coming up, we interview Charity Buzz winner Shannon Polly to see if she's the right fit to replace our departed intern, Doug. That's coming up right after this.
Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds. Yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some too. What I got is the Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants. And I got I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for like, you know, $30 a piece or starting at $30 at quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, you know, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that too. Like so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
European. They are so European. And you can get those kind of, you can get washable silk tops. You can get 14 karat gold jewelry and like all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing, they cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Fun fact, a single can of Mountain Dew can completely dissolve a mouse. But sadly, according to a lot of teen mice, it's like totally worth the risk, dude.
We now join the French Trump weekly Friday press conference in progress.
Next question.
Mr. President.
Yes,
Mr. President.
Here.
Thank you, Mr. President. Tony Romo with ABC News.
Hello, Tony. I would like to have a slice of your pizza right about now, Tony.
Thank you, Mr. President. The entire country has been humiliated by your performance in Tuesday night's debate. Did you prepare for it at all?
I did. I prepared very strongly for the debate, Tony. That's why I won. There's a lesson there for America's children. Don't let yourselves be indoctrinated and always prepare. Tony, do you want me to demonstrate how I prepared?
If you would like to, sir, but it's not necessary.
It's necessary to stop the communists that control Joe Biden. It is, Tony. So you start talking. I'll show you.
Mr. President, I really don't think it's appropriate
at this time.
There are other reporters that have questions as well, sir. Please, sir, let's move on.
Joe Biden is a communist who eats Mao mix every day. Mao. Communists ask for it by name. Next question.
And we're back. Paula, I understand that our vocabulary contest is still going strong.
It is. And just to remind people, the first listener to make a complete list of the vocabulary words we used in episode 109 wins a Zoom call with up to 100 of your friends and me and Adam.
Wow.
You don't have to go out and make new friends, by the way. However many can make it, up to 100, Adam and I are excited to meet you and yours. Now, Tony Anita Hall posts the complete list of vocabulary words from all of our shows on Facebook. So get out a pencil, which is a stick with a gray point, and a piece of paper, and listen carefully to episode 109. Win the prize, invite your friends, and get your Hawaiian chips ready.
Wow. All right. Well, now, Paula, you generously donated a chance to be on our show to the ACLU of Southern California to auction off on Charity Buzz. And as you probably know, Paula, we're happy to have the winner here with us tonight and very happy that she supported the ACLU.
Yes, we desperately need the ACLU right now. So, you know, one time I did a benefit for the ACLU in a place called Park Station, I believe it was, Texas, which is supposed to be like the, you know, the most conservative of the conservative. And my job that night, this is years ago, but my job that night was to entertain these ACLU workers. I never seen a more unhappy group of people in my life because they just, you know, they were rolling a big boulder up a hill every day in their work. And I don't think that that mountain has gotten any flatter.
During the Trump years?
Right, exactly. So, yeah. So thanks so much to everyone at the ACLU and those supporting it. And I'm so glad that we have our guest with us.
Yeah, we're going to introduce her in just a second. I do want to point out that the winner of this auction received not only a chance to be in the show, but also to apply for the tragically open position of Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone intern.
Oh, boy. Does she know, Adam, about what...
We can ask her in just a minute, Paula, but you came up with the methodology for conducting this interview, didn't you?
I did. When people in the 19th century applied to work for Thomas Edison, he would give them a very snooty test, really, with you know, factual questions that... It was hard to see how knowing the answer to that question had anything to do with the job that they were there to do for Thomas Edison. So, but they were very difficult questions. So I figure what we'll do is give our winner Edison's questions to answer and then give her our questions, which may not be as hard.
Well, that sounds like a plan to me. So let's meet our winner. Shannon Polly has a degree in positive psychology and does scientific...
I didn't even know there was such a thing as positive psychology.
Oh, yeah. It's much better than negative psychology, which is just basically telling your patient you suck.
Yeah.
But she also does scientific research on happiness. She teaches resilience to a wide array of people from army sergeants to tech companies. She is also an executive coach. She coaches executives. Please welcome Shannon Polly.
Hey, Shannon.
Hi.
Shannon, welcome. Congratulations on your auction win.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
I'm so glad you're here. Wait, before, you know, Shannon, I wrote a book called The Totally Unscientific Study of the Search for Human Happiness. And here you are doing scientific research on happiness, which is the opposite of what I did. How do you do scientific research on happiness?
Well, I am a practitioner, so I try to teach people how to be happier. And I did listen to your book. It's amazing how similar some of your experiments were to some of the scientific, you know, research that I cite in workshops. So, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Suddenly I'm elevated. unfortunately, you know, I have been repeatedly telling people about my book, saying that during this difficult time, it is a bit of a balm. You know, it's BALM. It could be a helpful little lift to them to read such a book.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I do have a whole chapter on hugging, which, you know, is kind of verboten now.
Right.
Not with people that, you know, in your own home, but
in your pod.
You know, I was talking about hugging strangers.
Right.
Oh.
And yeah. And I did an experiment where I hugged a lot of people that I didn't know. And by the way, it felt good.
All right. And then those people are still alive because you did that before the pandemic.
It was pre-pandemic. So I don't advise it at this time. But as soon as we eliminate the virus, we have that to look forward to.
I'm looking forward to it. Now, Shannon, before we start the interview, you have listened to our show once or twice.
Yes.
Okay. Are you familiar with the horrible tragedy of our intern, Doug?
No. No. What happened?
Oh. Well, we weren't either right away.
Okay.
No, we weren't. And there are some people who say that we just made this all up and to attract listeners and turn this into a true crime podcast, which is the furthest thing from the truth. The fact
is
that
the sort of thing we would do.
We would never do that. We just never mentioned Doug on the show until he was just brutally murdered, sadly. But Doug was our intern, and he was found dead, and we're still, you know, we're under investigation. But we do need another intern.
Okay.
Shannon, are you near a door? Because this is an opportunity. This is opportunity energy coming your way right now.
I am. I'm feeling it. What exactly does the intern do?
Geez, you know what? We ask the questions around here. Shannon.
Yeah. Sorry. Well, the intern does a lot. The intern is definitely not just a plot device to get his listeners. There's a job involved.
The intern is integral to the show.
Absolutely. So, Paula, you want to?
Yeah. Okay. So we've got some questions for you to answer. Let me just start with some questions that Thomas Edison used to ask his job applicants over 100 years ago. Here are just a few of those questions. This is question number 9 in Thomas Edison's questions. Is Australia greater than Greenland in area?
I'm going to say no.
You know, I realize I don't know the answer to the question myself. Here's number 16.
Wait a minute. Paula, you didn't look these up?
No, I don't work for Edison. Where do we get prunes from?
Prunes. They are dried plums.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what
I think too.
So.
I think that's my feeling.
Who invented logarithms?
No idea.
I think it was Abraham Lincoln. He was raised in a logarithm cabin.
It's a log cabin, but okay.
Oh, was it? Oh, my mistake. All right, I think that... here's another one. Where do we get our domestic sardines? I'd say in our homes.
But Paula, you didn't let our interviewee answer that question.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, definitely the grocery store, for one.
Yeah, okay. This one really stumped Doug. This is number 82.
Poor Doug.
Number 82 in Thomas Edison's employment questions. Why is cast iron called pig iron?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Me neither. I didn't even know it was called pig iron.
Wow.
Sorry, Mr. Edison. I guess I won't be working for you. All right, here's number 93. What is the weight of air in a room 20 by 30 by 10? Oh, you should know this, Shannon.
The weight of air would be weightless?
Sure. Okay.
Fine.
And now.
Now, Paula, I want to pause now that we've finished the Edison portion of the quiz.
Yeah. I got bad news for you, Shannon. Neither you nor I are working for Thomas Edison.
Again, I'm not quite sure why we're asking Shannon the questions to which you do not know the answer.
I just wanted to see if she did. Okay. All right.
Okay,
I just wanted
to
see if she was going to be headhunted from us. Okay. By a time-traveling Thomas Edison.
Oh, that's a reasonable fear, so now I understand. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, I feel like I'm time-traveling all the time lately. Okay, so here's our own questions. I just wanted to show you, Shannon. I just wanted you to contrast our questions with Thomas Edison's questions. In the book Stuart Little, when Stuart Little was a substitute teacher, he asked his students if they knew what the important things were. What correct answer did student Henry Rackmeyer submit, and what did student Mary Bendix add?
Wow. Tapping into Stuart Little. You know, I don't know. I haven't read that in a long time.
You know, we're not hiring anyone who knows the answer to this question. So that you just
very specific question.
Yeah.
Henry Brackmeyer answered, a shaft of sunlight at the end of a dark afternoon, a note in music, and the way the back of a baby's neck smells if its mother has kept it tidy. And Mary Bendix added, he forgot ice cream with chocolate sauce on it. And I think those students nailed it. Okay. All right, Shannon, here's another question.
Again, that would have been super, almost creepy if Shannon had known that.
Shannon, did you read Stuart Little?
I saw the movie.
There you go. I like that movie.
Oh, geez. You know what? You better do well on these other. I saw the movie. That's your answer to did you read Stuart Little? No, you got to read the book. The book's great.
I know.
All right. Here we go. It's not too late, Shannon. And it's actually a really good book to read
Time. Yeah, absolutely. But Shannon, if you don't do better, you might not get a non-paid job whose last occupant was murdered. So, you know.
All right. Now you're on the edge of your seat. Now your stomach is churning.
That's right.
Here we go.
Focus.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Shannon. Yeah. What words are in the preface to Dr. Seuss's One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish?
Sam I Am? It's just...
Oh, Shannon, you don't have kids, do you? Do you have kids?
I do.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. But they're mostly into science. Okay. You were so close, Shannon. I'm going to give it to you. The answer was... from there to here, from here to there, funny things are everywhere. But you were so close.
She repeated it alongside you as you got into it. So Shannon really did know that one.
Yeah. Besides, I don't think anyone else wants to be our intern. So I'm trying to really lowball these. okay, let's just take a different tact here. Who does the Lincoln Monument honor?
Abraham Lincoln.
Nice.
Wow.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's because you live in D.C. that you were able
to. That's right.
You pulled that one out of the bag. All right. How do you get Bonnie Burns not to make noise during the taping?
You need to give her a fidget toy.
No, she had one time and was making noise with it. The answer is you can't. It was a trick question.
Wait. Does Shannon know about the fidget?
Oh, for God's sakes. She's going to tell you about her nephew who makes fidget toys.
No, I don't, but I love them. I use them.
No.
Never mind. Okay.
Don't sound interested, Shannon. Okay, that's like inviting a vampire into your room.
Okay. Forget it. Hi, Shannon.
Never mind. This is like Trump in the White House.
No, never mind. Goodbye.
Okay.
Shannon, you're doing great.
All right, Shannon, you are so close to being our intern. Shannon, what's the secret to happiness?
The secret to happiness, as summed up by Dr. Chris Peterson, you cannot reach the highest levels of happiness without having close connections to other people. So he summed it up by saying, other people matter. It's all about other people.
Mm-hmm. Shannon, are you working during the pandemic?
I am, actually. Yeah.
You're helping people be happy during the pandemic? Jeez. I would think that you'd get some sort of a bonus if it works.
for sure. Yeah. I think workers are working more now because they're not commuting. They're working from home. So they're working an average of two to 4 hours more a day.
Wow.
So they definitely need some resiliency. And I think, you know, humor is a good start. That's why your podcast and the book. I've been watching like Netflix comedy specials as a positive intervention, as we call it. So,
it is smart. But, you know, I'll tell you the thing about our podcast for me has been, and it is a really uplifting part of my week. because, you know, I get to talk to these guys, and we genuinely, Bonnie Burns had me laughing so hard earlier talking about a nose, Frida, that I cried.
Why wasn't that a question in Shannon's interview? Shannon, do you know what a nose Frida is?
No, I don't.
Well, you're better off. Yeah. See, yeah, Shannon, I'm going to give you some of the sagest advice you've probably ever received in your life. Okay. Don't Google it.
Well, you know, while we were talking just now, I ran this through our computer, Paula, and do you want to give Shannon the news about the results of this interview?
Oh, Shannon, you've got the job.
You've got the job, Shannon.
Really?
You're the new intern at Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. It's light. It's like 60 to 80 hours a week, and it's a great job. Good news is you're going to be better at it than Doug was.
Well, I got to give you some more advice, Shannon, which is if you see a copy of Adam's book, Schrodinger's Ball, coming near your head, move. Because that may have been the murder weapon in Doug's crime. Now, I'm hoping that Charity Buzz, where you bid to support the ACLU, I'm hoping that they told you that you would have the opportunity to be an intern for our show by your winning bid. Did they mention that?
They didn't. This is just an added bonus.
Yeah, it's just a bonus. I mean, it's not a negotiable thing. I mean, once you get the job, you got the job.
You've got the job.
Welcome aboard.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You have like onboarding or, you know,
benefits.
Look, we'll let you know all about the benefit. Tony Anita Hall will talk to you offline about our extensive benefit package.
Okay.
Would she say benefits? Did she say benefits?
She did.
there's benefits. I'm sure of it.
Ask Doug. Oh.
Yeah. We paid for his whole burial. So you got that. Shannon, I want to thank you so much for being with us. And of course, we'll be in touch, now that you're our intern.
Thank you.
And there's filing to do. Surely there's filing to do. And
there's a lot of filing.
You live in D.C., so unlike Pompeo's aides, you're not going to be able to bring me lunch, I guess, or do my dry cleaning. But, we'll be in touch.
We'll be in touch. Shannon Polly, thank you so much for coming on this show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And enjoy the internship.
Thanks, Shannon. All right. Hey.
Adam.
Yeah?
Adam, is it time to talk about my merchandise?
Yeah, Paula. You know what? Now that we've said goodbye to Shannon, I think this would be merchandise time.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? I'm already so dependent on her now that she's our intern. Shannon, could you come in here?
She left, Paula. She'll be back
Shannon!
Later. Paula,
Shannon,
she's not
line
here
one,
anymore.
Please. Shannon, line one. Shannon. Adam, the Poundstone pussy pillows that we have spoken of so often are available at paulapoundstone.com. For those who don't know, they are 4.5-inch by 5-inch pillows stuffed with pungent catnip. They have a grommet for attaching a string. They have a cat joke printed on one side, and on the other side, I'm happy to autograph it to your cat. There's a blank on the online order form to fill in your cat's name. And by the way, content junkies, every Thursday you can find a new episode of Nobody Asked You starring Paula Poundstone on Facebook and YouTube. It's a goofy little game show that aspires to lift the spirits of its viewers during this emotional pustule that is the year 2020. We tape right from my living room, so you might get a little contact shway.
Yeah, that's really very shway. I've watched the show. I'm a viewer, and I recommend it. It has lifted my happiness levels, much like Shannon has. And by the way, speaking of lifting your happiness levels, The baseball playoffs are here. And if you want to tune in to mine and Jeff Cesario's Starburn Sports simulcast, well, the schedule has changed a little bit. It's no longer every Sunday, but just check my Twitter feed, at Adam Felber, or go to starburnsports.com for which games you can tune into us with.
Has it been posted on your Twitter feed yet?
By the time people hear this, it will have been posted on my Twitter feed.
Shannon, and could you come in here a minute? Shannon? Shannon, line one, please. Adam needs his Twitter feed posted with the baseball game time. Thank you, Shannon. Thank you. Wonderful job.
All right. Well, if you want to enter our theme song contest, send your song to us at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. You can send us comments and anything else there, too. That's nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. And that's our show. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam the Felber. Special
wait
thanks
a minute,
to our...
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You know what people can't send us at paulapoundstone.com?
A cake.
No. They what? PaulaPoundstone@gmail.com. They can't send us their bullshit. Okay? So just okay. Don't send us any bullshit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, everybody.
So you can enter the theme song contest. You can send your song to Nobody Listens to Paula at Paula Poundstone. No, what is it? Nobody Listens to Paula, PaulaPoundstone@gmail.com. That would be great. But don't send us your bullshit.
Yeah, although your bullshit can be very helpful for our mailbag segment, can't it, Paula?
No, you can send us your comments. That's fine, but don't send us your bullshit.
Okay, take that for whatever it is, everybody. Now, special thanks to our guest, Angie Cho, and thanks to our house band, Aidan McDonald. Thank you so much. You can find her online at harpmuse.com. Our show is produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lezebnik, and Tony Anita Hull. Mixing by Michael Hoagie. Starburns production by Land Romo. Thanks once again to our former intern, Doug. You are irreplaceable, but you've just been replaced. Transcription services for the show provided by TranscribeMe, a premier internationally used transcription service. Use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at TranscribeMe.com to receive an expedited service.
That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me? Shannon, could you come in here for a minute? Shannon?
Hey, Shannon, this I don't know whether this toenail is ingrown or just kind of hanging off a little bit, but I need some help here.
Shannon, I ran out of litter box liners, the Johnny Cat litter box liners. Could you just look in? Could you see if maybe they'd want to sponsor the show?
Wow. It's amazing how quickly you take advantage of that. Yeah, she's doing great, and she's so much more alive than Doug is. I mean, that's one of the biggest recommendations, I think.
That's a big difference between her and Doug. Shannon, I'm a little thirsty. Shannon? Shannon, if you have any suggestions for our show, you can put them right in this suggestion box, and that's fine. I don't mind suggestions, but I'll tell you what. Don't put any bullshit in there.
Don't bring your bullshit, Shannon.
No. Ever since I moved my bed, I've really been, like, more forceful taking care of myself, and so I say stuff like that. I don't want any of your bullshit.
You're welcome, Shannon.
Thank you. Thank you, Shannon. That'll be all.
Starburns Audio, a podcast network.